You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment. We start the broadcast today with the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he didn't raise him from the dead if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Paul goes on to say that Christ has risen indeed. And therefore, we can live our lives victoriously, not because Christianity gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, because we believe that there is life after life after life. Again, something we do not believe through blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. This is the seminal point of faith. This is the assurance that you too, like Christ, will one day inherit eternity in a resurrected body. Let's go to the phone lines. First up, Jerry, listening in Missouri. Hi, Jerry.
Oh, Hank, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Sometime you were talking about the Trinity, and you said something to the effect that we don't believe the Trinity based on philosophy, but rather based on biblical theology. What was your distinction there?
Well, what I'm saying is that our view is not philosophically driven, it's biblically driven, which is to say that we believe in the Trinity because we apprehend the Trinity in Scripture, not because we comprehend the Trinity.
Oh, okay. Based on revealed knowledge rather than sort of learned knowledge through philosophy?
Well, the basic argument that I make is this. So often people will say that Trinitarians argue in a philosophical manner rather than in a biblical manner. And I'm saying precisely the opposite is the case. People, for example, such as Oneness Pentecostals, are more philosophically driven than biblically driven because it seeks to rationalize or answer everything in a way that seems compatible with our experience. But we're not trying to do that. We're saying God is beyond our ken. But God has condescended to reveal himself to us in the pages of Scripture, and therefore we bow our knee before that revelation. And what does God reveal? Well, in both the Old and New Testament, he reveals that there's only one God. So by nature or essence, we don't serve three gods, we only serve one God. But the God that is revealed in the Bible is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're told that the Father is God, the Son is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. Furthermore, we're told that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct, which is to say that the Father never morphs into the Son, and the Son never morphs into the Holy Spirit. They are eternally distinct. And therefore, again, we say, well, that's what the Bible teaches. That's why I believe it. Now, if the Bible said there's one God and three gods, that would be a contradiction. But this is not what's going on here. The Bible is saying there's one God in the sense of ontology or nature. But there are three persons within the Godhead, and person has to do with three centers of consciousness within the Godhead, or identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. So we have different ways of explaining that. I usually say it's one what and three whos. But it's not a contradiction, but we certainly would say it's cloaked in mystery in the sense that God is infinite, we are finite, and therefore, as finite beings, we cannot hope to comprehend the infinite.
Right, right. I understand the Trinity. I just didn't understand your distinction from philosophical reasoning. But it's a rational approach as opposed to a revealed approach in the Bible, such as Pentecostalism. It tries to rationalize their theology.
Exactly, exactly. The Oneness Pentecostals are philosophically driven, whereas we are not. We're simply driven to our knees by the text of Scripture. It is true in recent years that analytical philosophical theology as a discipline has done a tremendous work to clarify the Orthodox doctrine of the Trinity, but ultimately we bow our knee before God's revelation of Himself to us.
Right. Got it. Thank you.
You got it. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Jonathan. He's listening in Chicago, Illinois, listening on the web. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello, how are you? It's an honor to talk to you.
Likewise.
I was wondering, do you think the rapture is real?
Well, what do you mean by the rapture would be my question. I mean, there are a lot of different permutations of rapture, number one, and then on top of that, there is this notion that arose in the 19th century of a pre-tribulational rapture. The notion there is that there's a secret coming of Jesus Christ at which time believers are raptured out of the world, and then there's a seven-year tribulation followed by a second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a pre-tribulational rapture idea. If that's what you're talking about, my view would be, as expressed in the Apocalypse Code, that this is not biblically driven. This is driven by a particular paradigm that's imported into the Scriptures or imposed on the Scripture.
Well, what I was, the rapture I was talking about was the left behind theory that the floating into the sky, the 7 years of hell or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That's called the pre-tribulational rapture idea. And my simple response to that is I do not see it anywhere taught in Scripture. The passages that are typically pointed to, whether Revelation chapter 3 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or John chapter 14 or other passages of Scripture, if you actually go to those passages, you find that those passages do not teach a pre-tribulational rapture. The notion of a pre-tribulational rapture is imposed on those passages. And the problem is most acute when it comes to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul is giving a great and glorious vision to those who grieve, but not the rest of men who have no hope. And the reason is he points out that we have the hope of resurrection. So this is not a passage on a pre-tribulational rapture. It's a great and glorious passage on resurrection.
All right. That really sums it up for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Maddie, listening in Oakland, Tennessee. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Can I ask you a question?
You sure can, Maddie.
Why did Adam and Eve sin?
Well, did you ever think about that with respect to you yourself, or maybe even with respect to me? Why do I sin, or why do you sin? We sin every single day in little ways and sometimes in big ways. It's not rational to sin. It doesn't make any sense, but yet we do it. And Adam and Eve wanted to do it their own way as opposed to doing it God's way. And so they took matters in their own hands. They wanted to determine what was right or wrong, as opposed to listening to what God said with respect to what is right or wrong. It's kind of like if you did that with your mom and dad, Maddie, and you decided, you know what? I'm not going to listen to what my mom and dad say is right or wrong. I'm going to determine what is right or wrong. Well, you probably know that your mom and dad have been around a lot longer than you have, and they probably have a better idea of what is right or wrong, and therefore, you listen to them. And the older you get, you find out, wow, at first that didn't make much sense to me, but now it does make a lot of sense to me. And I think we're in somewhat the same condition. Sometimes we think that we know better than God. But the problem is oftentimes we don't realize who God is. He knows all things, and therefore we can never know better than God. So whenever we sin, it doesn't make much sense. It's what we call irrational, but still we do it. Does that make sense to you, Maddie?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're a smart young lady. How old are you?
6.
Well, I appreciate you calling me today.
Thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome, Maddie. Thank you for calling me. God bless you. We'll be right back with more answers.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his 4 decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library.
To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dominic. He's listening in California. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I'm a born-again Christian, and my wife came from a Catholic background, but thank the Lord. She accepted the Lord as a personal Savior. And now we have, now that we're in our, we have a steady walk with the Lord and a relationship with the Lord, you know, I'm kind of remiss about telling her about, because her family's all Catholics. And, you know, we've been to a church, a church that was preaching the word, the gospel, and we had a meeting with the pastor, and he said that, you know, I mentioned the fact that she came from a Catholic background and her family's Catholic. And he goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. They just pray different. They all go to heaven." You know, and I don't know. My spirit doesn't feel right, and I just wanted to, you know, are they in danger of going to hell? I mean, I need help here. So if you could really just help me clarify and what I need to be doing.
Well, I think what's important is to focus on essential Christian doctrine. We can stand shoulder to shoulder with all those who embrace the essentials of the historic Christian faith, which form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. But I've said this many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it's not the absence of knowledge that damns, it's the despising of knowledge that damns. If we recognize that God created the universe and that Jesus Christ is God, if we look at the outer light and also recognize that God has indeed written a knowledge of himself in the tablet of our heart, if we respond to that light, we will receive more light. And ultimately, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 3, that eventually leads us to the light of Christ. So the problem is never that we don't have enough light. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So my point in saying all of that is just to contextualize the first point, and that is we stand shoulder to shoulder with all believers who hold to essential Christian doctrine, which is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. But having said that, there are many doctrines within Roman Catholicism that I have great difficulty with. So I think we need to have a lot of charity here and recognize our responsibility to clearly communicate and articulate the essentials of the historic Christian faith for which the martyrs shed their blood. There are a lot of evangelical Protestants that can't do that, just as there are evangelical Catholics that don't do that well. That doesn't mean that there's an excuse for having a lack of knowledge. We should seek that knowledge, and we should seek to properly communicate the faith once for all delivered to the saints. There are a lot of Roman Catholics that can very articulately communicate the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I've had some of them on the broadcast. They are as articulate as one could imagine with respect to essential Christian doctrine. So again, I think the importance is to always champion the essentials for which the martyrs shed their blood. In fact, I think this is so important that I put together a 4x6 laminated flip chart. It's titled Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine and is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, the word doctrine is used in a memorable way so you can remember the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lou in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Lou.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Thanks for answering my call. I had a question about a author by the name of Gerald Schroeder. He wrote a book entitled God According to God. He is a physicist and an Old Testament scholar. And in his book, and he said this in various other books too, is that apparently he discovered through some of the early biblical scholars, Hebrew scholars, that the translation, which tends to appear in most Christian Bibles, that God said, I am what I am, words to that effect, actually has been mistranslated or misunderstood, because the original Hebrew actually comes closer to saying, I will be that which I will be. I was wondering if you were familiar with Schroeder's writings, and if you were familiar with that particular dilemma.
Yeah, familiar with Gerald Schroeder, a Jewish physicist, and he has written many interesting books. He's got a lot of original ideas. In fact, he has been influential as an apologist for the existence of a creator God. His work helped the late former atheist Anthony Flew move from atheism to deism on the basis of the fine-tuning of the universe. So he has had a big impact as an apologist. But some of the things he says, quite frankly, in my view, are crazy. And certainly with respect to the Tetragrammaton that you find in the Old Testament canon, this means directly and specifically the name of God. It means I am. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. All other names for God are our names for him. We can use names like Creator or Redeemer or King, but this one, the Tetragrammaton, is his own revealed name for himself. Only I am can say, I am, not I was, but I am. I can express a third person name and address a second person name, but I can only possess a first person name. And that is precisely what is going on with God's revelation of himself. Again, this is the name of God. It's not the title of God, but it was known in the Old Testament as the unspeakable four letters, because it is the name of God, and it carried such weight that it was unpronounceable. Now, we've taken vowels and added them so that we can pronounce the name, but this was considered so holy that people didn't even dare to take the sacred name of God upon their lips. This is not what Schroeder is saying. This is not a misinterpretation. This is something that comes from a comprehensive, concise, and compelling study of the Old Testament canon, which Jesus Christ put his imprimatur on. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Ed in New Jersey. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Hank. How are you? My question is about Marcus Borg, the author.
Yes.
I'm currently reading his book, The Last Week, and it's the first novel of his, or a book of his, that I've read. And he kind of points out a lot in the text the conflicts and, you know, in the Bible between the different Gospels of Mark and Luke. And I can't figure out if he's like a supporter of the Bible, or he's saying you shouldn't rely on it because of that, or he's just putting it in some context. I was wondering if you had familiar with his works and had an opinion.
Yeah, well, it's not an opinion. It's plain old fact, and that is he thinks that the gospel narratives are not to be trusted, in that they are fraught with all kinds of mistakes, and that much of what Jesus said, according to the Gospels, are things that Jesus never really said. So Marcus Borg, part of the Jesus Seminar, does not hold to Orthodox Christianity at all. In fact, what he does consistently and continually is undermine the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Okay. I kind of thought so, but I wasn't sure if I was misreading. Thank you for your input.
You got it. I've written about Marcus Borg in various places, including my book, Resurrection, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Suzanne in Washington, D.C. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
And likewise.
And I am a believer and a very strong Christian, but I also have very devout Jewish friends, and we get into debates where I really sort of don't know quite how to answer their questions with regards to this idea that the Jewish people are God's chosen people, so how could they possibly be lost? And I, you know, not wanting to offend, I usually just say something very diplomatic and we move on to something else. But I would love to know your answer. How would you answer that question?
Well, the sons of Abraham are the chosen people, and it's not a matter of race, it's a matter of relationship. And Galatians chapter 3 makes that very clear. Galatians chapter 3 says Abraham only had one seed, and Paul goes to great lengths to point out that it's not seeds plural, but it's a seed singular. So there's only one seed, that seed is Jesus Christ. But the double entendre is that by the time you get to the end of Galatians, Paul has pointed out something further, and that is, if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And he makes clear that that's true whether you're Jew or Greek. So it's not a matter of race or genealogy or nationality. Whether you're male or female, it has nothing to do with your gender. Whether you're slave or free, it has nothing to do with your position in life. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. We are at a time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please remember how important it is to support this ministry prayerfully as well as financially. We need your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.